Right, mate, so since we're going to talk about Saudi Arabia in this episode, I thought I'd tell you a little story once. So I actually went to Saudi Arabia on holiday, and I tried to smuggle weed in. Do you know what happened?
Go on.
I got stoned. Double entendre. Double entendre. Straight off of the dome.
Oh, mate. Was it in Saudi that guy got... that UK guy got... UK guy? What the fuck am I talking about? That British guy got arrested for having like CBD in one of his vape pens.
I didn't hear about that, but it's the most reasonable place that would happen, I would assume. Or it's the most feasible place it would happen.
It was somewhere in the Middle East. It might have been UAE or something.
You know, they say you produce DMT in your body naturally.
Mm.
Do you reckon they go mad over that as well? Like, take your lungs out and that if they discover it.
Yeah, potentially.
You could tell I've watched a bit too much Joe Rogan by saying that, because that's all he talks about. You know, they actually produce DMT. We actually produce it ourselves, and they think that's why you have the hallucinations and the light flashes before your eyes before you die.
Couldn't Jesus be me, mate. Christ. I don't think I've got the mental stability to have psychedelics like that.
I thought you were going to say to watch or listen to Joe Rogan.
No, I mean, I don't religiously watch Joe Rogan, but I quite like him, to be fair.
Yeah, I'll if there's a good guest on, then yeah, it's the one. Yeah, where it's not like this possibly. Podcast where I'll tune in every week because we're fucking banging out good stuff. You know what I mean? Like, we are obviously
brilliant content.
Far ahead of Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
We're just $200 million short or something. Because actually how much he got, I think. Like, the initial reports was 100 million.
Yeah.
Then it came out, it was actually more 200 mil based on sources in Spotify, I believe.
Wow.
But if he sold to Saudi, he'd have got at least 400 mil, because they're
that's
happy splashing
it
out like mad, aren't they?
We need need a Saudi investment.
No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we fucking don't.
We do.
Oh, shit. I do not.
Yeah.
I want to be the last thing in esports, that last person or company that gets bought in esports from Saudi. I want to be resisting it all up until I can't resist it anymore.
Give it all to me. I'm well up for it. So you present me with a couple of mil, I'll do anything for you.
This is the point where you say you're joking, right?
No. Yeah, of course.
Okay, I was gonna say, I don't want to go on Esports Insider and see Saudi Arabia buys Billy Studholme. For 2 million. Billy Studholme's seed round to own his life. I don't want to hear that or see that.
Yeah, obviously I'm messing, but I don't
you can
think
see
it's
why
as simple as... Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, for the companies, I have no sympathy for the companies, but I mean, for, you know, for example, the Frankie Ward situation. I do have sympathy for her, because I read a blog post earlier in preparation for this, and yeah, I mean, she basically said most of her income within esports is in CSGO. And most of the stuff she works on, if not all of the stuff she works on, is ESL or Face It. And so what she's supposed to do, just upend her life based on based on an ethical kind of disagreement. And I get, in an ideal world, you'd say, yes, of course, you have to actually live by your supposed principles, but in a situation like that, it's actually difficult. Whereas for the companies, no, I have no sympathy whatsoever.
I think that thing is, on a general basis, I really like Frankie. I've met her, I've spoken to her a decent amount. I think she's lovely, generally speaking. I think she's a great person. But the reason it's egregious that the blog post came out, where she didn't say she was going to continue working with ESL and stuff. She was just like, I have to think on it. It's a big decision. Newborn baby, all this kind of stuff. Face It, don't actually run tournaments besides that one major in 2018 or 19. So it is basically just ESL that she's referring to. But it's the fact that when the NEOM stuff came about, which we can get into with the LEC and Blast, she basically said, we will not work with people who would kill our friends. But now if she continues to work with ESL, she is working with people and taking money from those who would kill her friends. So
it
like
looks rich, doesn't it?
Yeah. So you either don't say a fucking word and just carry on, and then privately, if people ask if you like taking Saudi money, you can say no, but look, I've got a kid and stable future, all this kind of stuff. But if you make that moral grandstand, and like you really put it out there and say like, look, these people will kill LGBT folks, and I've got a bunch of friends who are lesbian, gay, trans, whatever. Like, and then you, and then 2 years later, you're like, you know what? Yeah, I will take the peas from them. That's obviously, that's where like Thorin's problem with her. So that's where it all stems from, as far as I can tell. And then, because like she'd worked like Bahrain and a couple of other events, like maybe like Gamers Without Borders, I think is the name of one of them, and then Blasted, an event in like the Middle East as well. She worked those, apologized for that, because she got called out for that around the Neon time as well, probably by Thorin. Because like, to be fair to him, like everyone has a pop at him these days, but like he's an example of someone who stands by his morals and ethics. So I mean, like, it's not like he's throwing stones in a glass house at this point. Like, he literally will not work with the companies he says he won't work for. So whatever. But yeah, it's a tricky one. And that's the problem with like coming out and effectively virtue signaling, because like, if you have to get to a point where you're called upon your shit, you have to do one of two things: either say, no, look, I do have the morals and the ethics here, or not.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't expect this to be the case. You don't expect like two of the biggest, well, actually three of like the biggest tournament organizers / like competitive platforms in the industry to just get snapped up overnight by literally the Saudi state.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for Frankie.
They called the fuck out of her bluff, to be fair. You know what I mean? But yeah. I don't think she's a bad person. I think maybe her priorities have changed a little bit. Now she's had a kid, now she's a mum. A married mum with her own house.
Like, and it doesn't change the fact that the decision is still super hard if that's where most of her income is coming from. But yeah, I mean, she's been, like you said, if you make that stand and then don't stick to it, it can look a bit, I mean, you're bound to get called out if you've got as many followers as Frankie does. Yeah. Shall we get into why we should care about Saudi money?
Mm-hmm.
Talk a bit more about games washing now, I guess. Sports washing, which has been in play for at least a few years.
We can do that. Just ahead of that, I just wanted to say, like, the industry is completely fine with taking Riot Games money, which is Tencent money, and Tencent works with the Communist Party in China, like very closely. They are linked there. So like, we are fine.
Does Tencent work closer?
I've a Google after this, mate. It's a madness. So like, there are ties there. 100% there are ties there.
Because I saw recently that the Chinese Communist Party did something against Tencent. Like they cracked down, or they did some kind of regulation or something. Because I know they have cracked down on big tech, which some people think is stupid. Like, is it Alibaba?
So like in August 2020, taiwannews.com/TW posted an article called "Caught Red-Handed: Tencent's Ties to CCP Revealed," where like 23% of Tencent employees were members of the CCP, and there'll be some other stuff in there as well. Maybe that's something we can link in the description below for further reading. But I just want to say, as an industry in esports, we collectively pick and choose which parts we care about. Partly because of ignorance, like we don't go fishing for stuff you don't find out, and therefore it's not an issue. And partly because we decide what's evil and what's not, which, of course, you're free to do so, right? But what's happening in China, well, with all the enslavement and whatever else they fucking do over there, which we don't need to get into, this is about Saudi, like it's not great. So as an industry, I just want to kind of preface with saying, like, we're fine taking, in my opinion, dodgy money as it is. But obviously you get to weigh up which problems are worse and which nations are doing it worse as well, I suppose, right? And how they obtain that money and why they're making moves with such money. You know, but yeah, we can get into Saudi. Obviously, ridiculous human rights record. The Crown Prince, how long's he been the de facto leader for? Like 2, 3, 4 years, I think, at this point. He's trying to like change the outside perception, the public image of Saudi.
Mm-hmm.
By like injecting their dosh into all the popular things in culture in the West, and then saying, "Look, we are good guys," right? That's effectively how I see it. So, like, he was the decision maker, or I guess like led the decision behind allowing women to drive in 2018. Very forward thinking of him, you know. It's like, and then they're saying, "Like, look, gamers, we're not bad. No. We can help you put on your competitions where we." Don't really care about competitive integrity anyway, but nonetheless, like, look, we can do this and we'll, I think, like the fund that they have, Public Investment Fund, which we'll get into, is involved in like Activision Blizzard, Take Two, Ubisoft, and a few others anyway. So they've already been somewhat involved in esports before the acquisition of ESL, Facer, and DreamHack, you know. But yeah, they are obviously doing it to try and change their public image.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, recently we have seen like a more concerted push, though. Like, but to be fair, I don't know when they invested in, for example, Activision Blizzard. But like we're seeing this across the board. Like, obviously, this with was it 1.5 billion acquisition and merger of ESL and Faceit.
Yeah.
You know, we were saying earlier that a lot of people probably won't follow football that watch our podcast, but if it's true, which I think it is based on the reaction to it, like by Amnesty International and others, like Newcastle United, football team in the UK, massive fan base, like just a huge club, been taken over by the Saudis, the Saudi Crown Prince, etc. And they've gone so far that the away kit for next season was leaked, and it looks the exact same as the Saudi national team kit. So it's just plain white with green trim. And yeah, just like, and I think, in fact, yeah, I think I've got a quote that Amnesty International came out with. So it says, "If it is true that Newcastle United is changing its away kit to match Saudi Arabia's national colours, it exposes the power of the Saudi dollar and the kingdom's determination to sportswash its brutal, blood-soaked human rights record." That was Amnesty's head of UK or something.
Based.
So, yeah, just goes to show, like, you know, the reason they do this, the reason they get involved with sport and now in gaming and esports, is because of people's passion for it, and because people don't associate that sport that they watch with politics. And I think that's why it's so, it can be used so connivingly, so maliciously, because people don't, like I said, they don't think it's political, but it is political. It's why Russia, you know, the state-backed Olympic doping thing, if you're familiar with that, like the, Icarus documentary, which is amazing. Yeah. Anyone that's not seen that needs to watch that. Just about how the Russian government sponsored statewide doping, and they won loads of medals for it, and that had been going on for ages. I think it's because sport, and now esports and gaming, is really important to people, and it's a really good way to make your regime that is, you know, doing all this dodgy stuff, make them look more legit. So, yeah.
And we've seen among like Newcastle fans, so it's not even been a year, right? Like they acquired them like midway through the Premier League season. I'm pretty sure it went through then, right? Like, and I think all of the clubs besides Newcastle basically said like, this will do damage to the league, like we're against this. But money talks, obviously. Yeah. It was like, I think it was $407 million or $409 million, the acquisition, which was, so it was the Public Investment Fund led the consortium. So there were other funders, but like for all intents and purposes, Saudi state at this point. Right? But like seeing how the Newcastle fans react, because like some were just happy to get rid of like Mike Ashley and didn't actually care. They were just like, I just want a good club to support. I just want my club to like get back to former glory, almost be challenging for top of the table, all this kind of shit. Some were like, oh my God, we're going to be the next Man City. And I'm like, that's problematic in itself. Go look why they're doing so well now.
Exactly.
And then some obviously hated it. But like, if you've spent, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years religiously following a club, your hometown club, which you probably, your fandom was passed down generationally in your family, like you're really like, it's almost like ingrained in you. Like it's going to be, it's hard to like, reconcile that. So you almost have to be like ignorant towards it or just make a laugh of it. You see them all turning up with fucking tea towels on the head and in robes and stuff, which is not great obviously, but they did that. It's just that they have to try and find a way to cope, right? And I actually work with maybe 6 or 7 Geordies at Hitmarker. So I've spoken to them a little bit about like the sports washing stuff, right? As Newcastle fans and those who actually go to the matches, if I ask them about it, a couple of them say like, yeah, but Meta, which obviously owns Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, they're somewhat funded by PIF. What about Uber? Have you used an Uber? You know what I mean? Like, you can't escape it. Their footprint is already so ingrained in
everyday life.
But I think there's a line you have to draw yourself. Like, there's a difference between like everyday utility and then like entertainment. Because like,
and also,
if I'm relying on Uber to get to work every day, I live in London or something. Like, that's a necessity. If I have to do it, I have to do it. Whereas I can choose what I watch and what I support and what I pour my money into on like also, a hobby basis.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But then also, like, it would be different if Uber were majority owned by the Saudi state or by, you know, the state of some other awful regime. Like, that is different. And they're using sport as a way to, yeah, completely wash away the misgivings people have about their regimes and stuff. So I think them having investments generally, yeah, I mean, they've got loads of money, that's going to happen. But I think it's different when they have the lion's share or something, because they're going to use that as a vehicle, whereas they wouldn't be able to use Uber, I don't think, as a vehicle to, you know, taxi wash.
No, they're just Saudi regime. No female drivers.
No, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, it would be different, I think, if they had the lion's share of Uber, whereas they do have the lion's share of Newcastle, right. You know, ESL, Formula One potentially, I think. You know, they're doing loads in golf. So, you know, it is a massive concerted push now. And I do think it's a little bit different to general minority investments.
Mm-hmm. And, like, the reason it's like they've stuck the landing here in esports now, obviously, when they tried to get in with Neon, which is like their mega tech city there, or like, I don't know, can you describe it as a city? I think they're calling it a city, right? But like, huge hub of like technology, forward thinking stuff. Effectively, imagine it like an in person metaverse. just to be a stupid
sounds like but, fucking hell.
Yes, exactly.
I'm never going.
No.
Never going in my life.
So Neon. PIF owned, which obviously owns half of esports now, sponsored Blast, and then the next day was announced to be sponsoring Riot Games through the LEC. Not big roles by any means, but like, they got in there. Massive community uproar, like talent at LEC said they wouldn't work there while Neon was involved. They had like a few LGBT talent members and all this kind of stuff, so like, it was something that was very near and dear to them. And it didn't take long at all. Like, I think a day or two for LEC to cancel things. It took a bit longer with Blast. I was like involved in, well, I was speaking to a couple of sources over there as it was going down, and they just couldn't speak on shit because it was a madness. Like, legally they couldn't speak on it, but like, they had it cancelled quite quickly as well. You know, yeah, so like, that's a sponsorship though. Like, it's hard to it's harder to cancel an ownership. Like, if I come in and offer you $1.5 billion, I'll say $1 billion for ESL, it was. So ESL and DreamHack, those properties are not worth anywhere near that. You'd be lucky to get half of that. Realistically, value-wise, it may be 300-400 mil or something, but obviously stuff's inflated in esports anyway. Go look at the organizations and their valuations. But like, you can't just simply campaign and they'll reverse the ownership, because like, MTG, once they've offloaded those assets and entered that definitive agreement, and as long as there's nothing regulatory which can fuck that up, they've just cashed out to the tune of like fucking 10 times what they put in. Actually, a bit more, because I think they bought ESL for like 70 mil.
Yeah.
Back in the day, right? So like, they've cashed out ridiculously. They were actually hemorrhaging money through ESL. ESL was not making money, so the fact they could offload that for a billion is fucking insane. That's like someone comes to you and saying, oh, those shoes have got massive holes in and that, how much do they cost you? You're like, £100, but in like 7 years, they're like, I'll give you £5,000. You're gonna be like, fucking hell, mate, are you mad? Yes, don't care where your money's coming from, give me £5,000 for this useless piece of shit. So, you know what I mean? So like, that's kind of how it was. And like, I think on like the Four Horsemen, like Richard, Thorin and Monty said how they were in talks with Face It to like fund their like company, whatever they're making. I think they're doing like a content kind of company together, Insight on Esports. That's why they've launched a new CSGO channel and stuff. But like, as soon as they found out the ESL merger and Saudi ownership thing was coming into play, they backed out. But I think they were saying like, the merger between ESL and Face It was already in discussion even before Saudi got involved, like through the Saudi Gaming Group, which is interesting to me. Because it makes sense to bang those two together. You've got a platform which can serve as a path to pro, and then you've got obviously events which can go from amateur all the way up to the top tier. Mm-hmm. But it was just a weird thing. So I don't know at what point Saudi identified ESL and Face It as being good targets, but like they seemingly struck the timing perfectly at a point where the pandemic had fucked one of them. They were already looking to come together under one roof, and they just come in and go 1.5 bill, which is obviously fuck all to them in the grand scheme of things, which is scary.
I swear in total, like the regime is worth like 250 billion or something. That was the number that kept being used when Newcastle were about to be taken over.
Funny, ESL is worth two times more, two and a half times what Newcastle is worth, apparently.
What? Say that again.
So ESL, based on
that's what, yeah, exactly.
The purchase is worth two and a half times what Newcastle is, where it owns stadium and it's got fans that will pack it out all the time and actual assets. ESL, which doesn't have an arena, teams that are bought in, but like I was thinking that
so the number is ridiculous, and like
they make it undeniable, don't they?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, and like I'm not a financial analyst. I've said that so many times in this fucking podcast. Maybe I just need to become one. I just need to become a financial analyst. Make everything a lot easier.
We'll get it.
But yeah, like. How are they worth that much, ESL? I don't know. It's crazy. I don't think they are. Maybe it was the case that the Saudi Arabia regime, like you said, just needed to overspend in order to get it.
Make them an offer they literally can't refuse. You know what I mean? Because if you go in and say 500 mil for all three of those properties, they could maybe argue it. But if you go in and like treble that, so you take a good offer and treble it, where they cash out ridiculously. I think like 40% of the proceeds from what MTG have got from the acquisition go straight back to shareholders. So that'll make them very happy. You know what I mean? It's a deal like they get to offload a dying asset, effectively, or a bleeding asset, I will say at least, where it is bleeding a lot of cash. It would survive, but it wasn't looking good for like money they couldn't like dream of getting for it.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense. And that just shows like they know what they're doing over at Saudi with the Savvy Gaming Group, right?
Yeah,
and like Kevin Hitt at Esports Observer /SBJ interviewed the CEO Brian Ward, who, of course, is a former like executive from Activision Blizzard, just another fucking company full of evil cunts. of course, just doesn't treat people right, doesn't care. He basically said like we are not owned by the Saudi state, even though they are 100% owned by the public investment fund, which is 100% owned by the Saudi state. And then he said, like, I've raised my two daughters to be strong, independent women. It wouldn't be very good of me to get in bed with, like, Saudi, effectively, or get in bed with people who don't believe in that stuff. You know what I mean? I couldn't do that. And I'm like, you just have fucking done it. That's fully what you've done.
It's exactly what you've done.
So, like, they're trying... In his mind, there's some, like, dissonance where, in his mind, they're not owned by Saudi because there's, like, a different name on the ownership group above them, where it's we're not technically owned by them, but like I think this is the case. Like the Crown Prince, the de facto like leader of Saudi Arabia, I think he has to be on the board or chair of the board on every company they acquire. So like he's the chair of the board for Savvy Gaming Group, which you know owns ESL, Face It Group, and will have game studios. They basically hired like three CEOs, so they've got the ESL Face It Group. Having game studios is going to have an infrastructure company, which I assume is going to be like a Vindex type company where just acquiring loads of centers and stuff from like grassroots and build up the industry that way. And like one other company that I can't think of, but it's seemingly going to be other acquisitions from them, I would assume, because it's easier to acquire a company that's already doing it than it is to build one from scratch. And if you've got the dosh to do it, fuck it.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling there's going to be more to come from Savvy Gaming Group, and like they obviously don't give a shit about the feedback. Like it don't matter to them, does it? Because people are still attending the events, people are still working the events, people are still competing in the events, still using FPL, Face It, Pro League. Like it doesn't change shit.
Yeah, it'll be successful. this whole project will be successful, and that's the shame. You know, it sparked fresh debate in football, you know, people saying, how can we let the Saudis take over? But then you had the other side of it, was like, well, hang on, we've just had, you know, the people that own Man City did
that's the exact same situation. Maybe we didn't know the extent of it at the time, but Roman Abramovich, who's like best pals with Vladimir Putin, bought Chelsea for the same reason, or for similar reasons.
And he seemed quite beloved, generally speaking.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. So like this is why it'll work. It's like people, the Chelsea fans who are only interested in football, whatever, like it's not their fucking responsibility to think about geopolitics, but were chanting his name when he got booted out, when he was sanctioned and they took the club from him. They were chanting his name at the next match or the next few matches. They were chanting Roman Abramovich. So it's like, you know, it will be successful, and that's the fucking annoying part. And you know, the Saudi regime, this is a regime that's what's the name of the journalist? Something Kipchoge or Kipchoge or something.
Oh, Kipchoge is the one who ran the sub 2-hour marathon. It's Jamal.
Oh yeah, that's right. It fucking is the
one sec.
I'm so glad you pulled me up on that. Oh god, that
Jamal Khashoggi. Jamal Khashoggi,
yeah. That's right. Thanks for that.
That's man. So bad.
Face saving. So not the marathon runner.
A journalist, yeah.
And I think and the clip that.
Sorry,
clip that.
Sorry, it's innocent.
I mean, it's close enough, isn't it?
Yeah,
Khashoggi. Let's have a look.
Yeah, but what about the death of a journalist? Here, as journalists, like obviously, we're not laughing at the death. We're laughing at the I don't know, the mix of there. Of course, not to be insensitive.
Of course, right.
Have a bone to pick about the sub 2 hour that Kipchoge ran, but we can discuss that in another podcast. When we start our running podcast.
Yeah, okay. Right, that's what I was going to say. So, isn't the head of Saudi Arabia like persona non grata in the US because of his involvement in the killing of this journalist, Khashoggi? Let me have a look.
I would hope so. I don't know. I haven't. I try and stay away from the news generally, cause, like, which sounds ridiculous, but like I stay away a lot from the minutiae a lot. Because it depresses the fuck out of me. Especially you see what's happening in Yemen and all that shit and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the thing I can't get past. Like, how you can work for a company that just bombs kids and hates people who like other people. I can't, like, make that work in my head. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying I'd cut people off who work for ESL necessarily, but I feel like I look at them a bit differently. I can still respect them, I think, but like not as much as I would someone with find to be like decent morals and ethics, you know. But anyway, that's an aside from what you were saying, right? About Eliud Kipchoge.
I was going to follow up on that, but I've just lost my train of thought. Forgot what I was going to say. That happens all the time.
It's a tough one, like the moral implications of it all, you know. It is tough because there's not a right or wrong answer per se. Like, I know what's right or wrong to me, but...
And I suppose maybe one of the only ways to actually combat things like this happening are if people do a kind of protest, like stop working for the company, stop watching the events, everyone kind of come together and challenge it. But
do you think that would work?
That's like what I mean. Ownership? But then if you don't think that would work, you know...
What does?
Yeah, what does? And like, you can't then have a problem with someone that would work for ESL. Do you get what I mean? Like, if it's not going to do anything for everyone to start working for him,
then, I personally still couldn't do it myself. I couldn't look myself in the mirror and like accept money that I know is coming from Saudi. Personally, but I don't expect people to live up to my standards.
I know what you're saying. I would struggle to do that as well, definitely. Especially if you were like. If you were a serious decision maker, that's when it becomes even more, you know, if you were being looked at to become the next bloody, you know, chief operating officer of ESL, it's like this, and the Saudi regime now is like, oh yeah, come to us and we'll pay you double what you've been earning over here. I would struggle with that as well. Definitely. Probably just look elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I admit it must be hard to like, look like turn the other cheek from like what could be generational wealth for your family. You know what I mean? Like if you have like equity in the company and they're about to get bought out for a mad amount.
It's a conundrum as old as time.
It is, mate. Yeah, but like, look, mate, like Saudi are evil cunts. Like, I think we said that in the Russia episode, which I think was our first episode, which feels like a year ago now somehow. But like, I firmly want to make it known that I think what Saudi does is despicable, and I would not take that money knowingly.
Yeah, yeah.
This is where I find out like Hitmaker's funded by fucking the Crown Prince himself or something, you know. Or the Clown Prince, as I will now call him. Now I think of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess in conclusion, this is part of a wider push across sports. Like I said, it's happening in golf, it's happening in Formula One, it's happening in football. We'll see it more and more. I'm curious. We should try to be first on it. You know, when another announcement is made in esports, we should make a video that day, that hour.
And call them out. I'm going to offer like the Crown Prince, like hands in a video.
Yeah.
If I stand up to him, threaten him, say, if you beat me in a one-on-one, then I'll let you acquire, what's an esports company? 100 Thieves.
That's otherwise, what Elon Musk did, didn't it? To Putin. He offered him out one-on-one.
Fuck me. That would be the number one watched boxing match of all time.
In it.
Only after Jake Paul versus KSI, I suppose. But
yeah, I suppose. I was going to say one other thing, but I derailed myself.
Nah, I don't help with that.
You know what? Fuck it. I can't be honest. It's fine.
But like, there's obviously nothing we can do, but we should have expected it, considering you can track the movements of what they're doing, and especially post-pandemic, like gaming and gaming content consumption. Through the roof. It's died down now. Or like, I say died down, it's slowed down now, so it's kind of reached a level again, like based on like live stream viewership at least. Stream Hatchet or Stream Elements released some good stuff on that, so I understand. But like, it's basically slowed down, but the acceleration it had during the pandemic, everyone was locked inside, so you're either just banging out GTA or watching Ninja play Fortnite or some shit. Like, gaming's never been bigger, and obviously the industry is bigger than music and movies added together as industries.
Yeah.
So it is the obvious kind of next progression, and obviously they've just bought 5.01% in Nintendo as well, which is obviously Super Smash Bros. So that may have some esports indirect effect. You never know. Like if they could buy more down the line, who knows? Mm-hmm. But look, like Tencent have got the fingers in everything. I don't think they're a nice company. I don't think what happens in China is particularly great. I wouldn't want to live there. Saudi Savvy Gaming Group is seemingly, well, the public investment fund at large is just another Tencent, you know, obviously with arguably some worse methods of going about what it does. We should have expected it, but also you kind of hope that the decision makers would be better than that.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully, you know, our podcast, it's not like our podcast reaches everyone, but you would hope it at least, you know, I don't know, if there's someone that's maybe watching this that, you know, owns one of these companies that might, you know, there's a chance that it gets taken over by some kind of fund like this. Just look into it and don't just go for the money, I guess. Like, really
unless
think about
that's
the
all
ethical
you care about.
Yeah, some people just don't give a shit, do they?
No, if money's staring you in the face, mate, like a lot, you can suddenly drop a lot of ethical stances, probably. I don't know. I couldn't do it myself, but I do understand why companies are willing to do it, especially ESL and Face It, why they were willing to do so. Just ludicrous amounts of money, you know.
Yeah,
and I mean, you understand it, but that's
what I was saying. I feel like on a more individual level, I'm sympathetic, like I said before. But on the level of the business, it's like, come on, there's enough fucking money to go around. You didn't need to do that.
Say ESL, the next ESL CSGO tournament they put on, say it's Katowice or something, I don't know. But should we, in your opinion, look at the players, the broadcast staff, and those in attendance differently than what we did pre-Saudi?
Nah. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't see them any differently. I don't see them any differently. Especially not the players. Like I don't know.
But what
it's
if,
really hard, like I said, if that's like one of the only chances there is of challenging stuff like this, like sports washing, I just think it's inevitable. It's a really pessimistic view, and I am quite optimistic generally as a person, but like, it's inevitable. This is going to happen, because companies will just always take the money. They just will,
What if it was a Russian state that acquired ESL instead, and then players weren't willing to compete, or like players are willing to compete, but they've tweeted out saying like, "Nah, stop this invasion." You know what I mean? Does it matter? Would it matter? Yeah. Would it be different? Would you look at it different if it was a Russian owned company now and teams and stuff still went?
I'd look at it a bit differently, but only because, you know, that's directly funding an unjust war effort, right now. You know,
as then we've got the Yemeni stuff going on, like in Yemen right now, like the Saudi-led consortium.
Oh, yeah, yeah, true. Yeah, it's a good point.
Like bombing kids and people in prison and stuff, you know, like literally just dropping fucking bombs.
No, you're right. Yeah, there's wars going on. I guess it's just, I was thinking, because the Ukraine war is in our consciousness right now because we're European and it's right on our doorstep. Yeah. So like, but you're right. Yeah, 100% the stuff they're doing in Yemen, you know, Saudi's been questionable for years. Some of the stuff they've been.
So that's why I really struggle. I can't make a decision, or I haven't yet.
It's true. Yeah, you make a good point.
Can I judge them poorly? I think the only way it knocks them down a bit is if, unfortunately, they did what Frankie did. And again, like, I still think she's a good person. I will still go for a friendly drink with her and have a natter and get on with her. But if you come out and say something like, oh, I basically saying like, I oppose this regime, I want nothing to do with them, they will kill the people I love.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a, and then 2 years later, you're being paid by them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're effectively buying your silence, or buying like your kind of reluctance to work with them, or you know, or defiance almost. Yep. Like there's a price on your ethics and morals, you know? And that's where I have an issue, I think.
Yeah. Like you said, I think with a lot of people, like you said earlier on, I think a lot of it is also out of ignorance. You know, people now know that Russia are just pieces of shit because of what they're doing in Ukraine, but like, they might not be like, not everybody's a geopolitics expert, so not everybody will know, for example, that what Saudi is doing in that part of the world. Like, I don't really know, to be honest. And I'm someone that reads about that stuff like a lot, like geopolitics and that type of thing. And I don't even know. Or like, I'd forgotten you asked me and it made sense.
Mm.
So yeah, I do think part of it is also just ignorance. Just like, you're not going to know everything. So yeah, man, it's a fucking hard one. It's like, for me, it's like, where do you focus the attention if you want this to stop? Should it be, should the buck stop at the company that accepts the money? Should it stop at the fans? Should it stop at the broadcast talent and players and teams and orgs? Should it, like, where does the buck stop? Where are you supposed to criticize the most to like make the most change? It's a fucking hard one. Like, and this is why I just think, like, if we're being realistic, it is just, it's inevitable unless everybody, you know, really does start to learn about this stuff now.
It's a struggle, mate, because I feel the Russian-Ukraine situation, I don't know, it's made me feel a bit weird because, say, if a report comes out tomorrow from Wired or something saying Tencent have been experimenting on babies or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I don't know, they're like, they were doing something that was inherently bad. Like, we all know this to be an evil.
Harvesting organs.
You know what I mean? Yeah, whatever it may be. Like, would people stand against them? Obviously, Riot owned, they own like 40% of Supercell. They have stake in Activision Blizzard, 40% of Epic Games.
Mm.
They've got a fingerprint across many different games and stuff. Would people stand up and against Tencent at that point, and thus Riot Games, League of Legends and everything, as they have against Russia? Or were they doing it to fit in with the crowd? And to show like they're on the right side of history?
Yeah, I don't necessarily see it as they're trying to fit in and trying to, you know, look ethically right necessarily. I mean, some probably will. But with something like this, I do think people see it and think, you know, I don't know, when it's just put right in front of your face and you realize, oh shit, this is actually what's going on. I need to react. But you're not going to necessarily have that reaction because, you know, not every situation in the world is covered the same, in at least in the UK.
Yeah.
That's
where my issue is, I guess. There's a bunch of shit going on, but I guess we only care about like the thing in the moment. Because like, you remember when COVID was a thing? Because then obviously it moved on to Ukraine. Now everything I see is just fucking about two druggy celebrities that don't like each other. You know what I mean? That's just all it is now. Yeah. It's just like we just care about certain things at the moment.
Are you talking about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard? Yes. Or are you talking about Rebecca Vardy and Colleen Rooney?
Yes. Yes and yes. Like, fuck me. Just, you know what I mean? Just like shit that don't need to be positioned where it is publicly, in my mind, in the public consciousness. Yeah, but like,
that's modern. That's
the moment,
media for you,
the thing of the moment, innit? You know what I mean? Like, none of my, like, family have brought up Ukraine in a couple of weeks now. And I'm like, you know, people are still getting unjustly killed, mate. You know what I mean? Like, it's a mad one. Anyway, unfortunately, there's no fix. You can't just make a tweet or a video and it's going to go away. But I guess, like, educating yourself on what's going on and where their money's coming from and how it stands with you ethically and morally, I think you have to, like, decide for yourself where you stand on things and then how you interact with the elements of those things out in the real world, of course. I'm not going to stand here and dictate to people how they should feel and how they should operate. You've got to make a decision for yourselves, of course. But anyway, I would like to say my middle name is now Saudi Arabia, as I have just been bought out during this recording for 10 quid. So my name is Adam Saudi Arabia Fitch now.
So way above your valuation.
You're way above, mate. Yeah, at least treble.
I was just going to plug my email address and say, any multi-billionaires fancy getting in touch, I'll shill anything.
How many multi-billionaires do you reckon we have watching Cyber Athletics?
three or four, no?
Are there any in esports? Except for the oligarchs that are getting ousted.
Who are the richest people in esports? Maybe that's our next video topic.
Yeah, I'll have to have a think about that, but because I'll be able to come up with a couple of answers. But I'll have to think about that. The Crown Prince is one of them. Welcome to esports, bro.
Yeah, a lot of the players would be up there, honestly, with the fucking salaries they're on. Some of them.
Prize TI winners.
There'll be some millionaires. There'll be some millionaire players. Oh, yeah, fucking hell, yeah. Dota 2 winners.
Some of them win like 5 mil from one episode. From one tournament, sorry, in Dota.
Freudian slip there. Do you want to record another episode?
Straight away.
This is our
second
episode in 2 days.
There we go. It was better than... what Freudian slip did I see? Oh, it was George Bush on about Iraq.
Yeah, it's in that. Bro.
Fuck me, mate.
What the fuck is that about? Mad, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm as bad as that, mate. But I think we've got basically touched everything, right? So, as always, we need to encourage people to dry hump that subscription button. That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
And make sure to stroke the like button on your way out as well. That'd be nice.
Amazing, yeah. That's why I leave the outros and the intros to you.
So enthusiastic as well. Like, all my energy is gone at that point. I'm just trying to think of ways to not be too crude. But yeah, make sure to click all the appropriate buttons that people say to click, and we'll see you on the next... Oh, he's fucking Dench.